Lucid dreaming, the ability to know you're dreaming in a dream. Tell me why you covered that.
Well, you know, George, it's fascinating to me to make that bridge or travel across that bridge from strictly paranormal claims to spiritual or religious ones. And so, for instance, I mean, there's no logical necessary connection between, say, ghosts and the idea that there might be a god. But because something like that suggests something other, right? Something beyond what we see.
Sure.
It's just natural that essentially all these issues become a flotilla, right? That are traveling together. And so I just thought I'm going to take this the distance, and I'm not going to just look at ghosts and UFOs and telepathy and things like that. I'm going to spend time in direct consideration of directly spiritual questions. So I wanted to pray, meditate, and explore the side of life more. And lucid dreaming kind of tied all those things together. If anyone out there is familiar with lucid dreaming, I mean, they know it's the act of becoming aware you're dreaming while you're dreaming.
And sometimes you can change the outcome of it.
You can very definitely. I mean, look, once you start making choices with the awareness that you're in a dream, you do change the outcome of it. And because now you're making conscious choices. You're not asleep and having all these sort of automatic choices come up for you. And the way this is related to meditation and prayer, George, if you think about it, is just that when you meditate or when you pray, you focus on a specific thought or idea, a mantra, a saying. And when you are practicing to lucid dream and gearing up to lucid dream, you are focusing on having a lucid dream.
Right.
So it's a very similar practice mentally, and it's got deep spiritual roots. I mean, the Tibetans, or at least many of them, believe that if you don't learn to become conscious in your dreams, you will not be conscious in death. You won't be aware in death.
Did you find that people who learn lucid dreaming also have the ability to dream about what they want to dream about?
I'll tell you what, George, I mean, this book, and this is what I love about it for me personally and for readers, is that it's given me something that I can use for the rest of my life. And so very definitely, I have found, I now have a lucid dream every couple of weeks about in there, which indicates I'm probably in a sort of lower level intermediate skills at this point in time, right? But it gets easier the more you do it.
It sure does. I want to talk to you now about meditation, about prayer. We have done some pretty incredible experiments about prayer and meditation. Let me tell you what we do. First of all, on Fridays, we have what is called the prayer list,
mm-hmm.
and people concentrate on this vast list of names that they don't see, but they concentrate on it. They do a little prayer on a Friday,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, people have written in, sending in emails, and we're getting miraculous results on people who have been helped or cured through this prayer. I'm not going to say we're the ones that solved it or mm-hmm. took care of it, but it seems to be working in a very, very unusual way, a higher percentage. And then with meditation, Steve, we've done experiments where we've created rain or we've helped move a tornado. And heck, there was one a couple of years ago where it was a Category 4 building up to a 5. It went down to a 1 or 2 after we did this. And meteorologists say, we've never seen something die so quickly. I don't know if we're the ones that are behind this. But it's sure pretty weird that when we conduct the experiment, some event occurs, whether it's rain in a drought-stricken area or something else.
Right. You know, George, I hope you're doing something to chronicle that, right? Because, you know, to get the mainstream to pay attention, you know, you have to have notes, and it has to be done in some sort of controlled fashion. So it'd be interesting to see you maybe partner with someone like a Dean Radin to figure out how to make this be something at the end that you can present to people.
Or we could even conduct some experiments with him.
Sure. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You know, where he could put the control on. One of the things I have found is we're not properly controlling it. So if we're hoping for rain in a drought-stricken area, we may create floods. See how it's out of control? You know, it succeeds. It gets wet, but it gets too wet. And I don't know how to control that.
Well, you know what's interesting about meditation for me, right, is that meditation, in a sense, is ultimately all about personal control, right? It's all about learning to direct your thoughts in a very, very specific way. And so it put me in touch with the fact that so much of what I think in a given day is just this sort of automatic chatter generated by the brain. And so much of it is fear-based. And through doing a lot of meditation, I've learned to just let those thoughts pass, right? Because they're coming most probably from some very primitive parts of the brain that are there to monitor your environment for danger. And so, you know, your boss gives you a funny look, and this part of the brain starts saying, you know, danger, danger, you're going to lose your job. But that's just sort of its job, and it's often irrational. And so through meditation, I mean, I've really learned, and it's amazing how it feels when it happens now, when something I know would have set me off before, and I have that first tremulous kind of fear-based thought creep in, and I just let it go, and I keep it on, and, you know, everything's fine.